not positive when the book was written. Some think it could be as early as AD 50, but most think it's probably between 65 and 70 AD. And one of the main reasons they think that is probably the timeline is the fact that Jude strongly parallels the second chapter of 2 Peter. And it's traditionally believed that Jude is a half brother of Jesus. Because he says, in the beginning, he's the brother of James. And if Jude is the half brother, early on he didn't believe in the deity of Christ. Read that in John 7, 3 and 6. But after the resurrection, again, if he was just a half brother, we find him assembling with the apostles in Jerusalem and participating in prayers. That's over in Acts 1, verses 12 through 14. Might note that the threes that Jude likes to use things in threes. So we'll read the first four verses here of Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who were called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men return the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So here in verse 1, he addresses those who were called. And how are we called? How are they called? Called by the gospel. Those that are sanctified by God. And what we mean by sanctified are those that are set apart from the world. And those that are preserved in Christ Jesus. And we're preserved through his shed blood, we have our salvation through Christ. But you have begun writing the Christians about their common salvation when he was suddenly moved to write about something else. And of course he was moved by what?
He was moved by the Holy Spirit.
Moved by the Spirit, right. He's moved by the Spirit to write about something different. About something else. So this letter, I think, lends proof that she felt it necessary to write about false teachers that had come into the church. There's no specific church that he mentions or is writing to that we know of. He just mentions the church. This is where it parallels 2 Peter. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. We'll read there. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So there, Peter, in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, he warns that there will be false teachers among you. But Jude contends that there are false teachers there already. That's where it parallels. Peter says they're coming. Jude says they're there. And he writes that it was needful that he exhort them and to remind them that they should earnestly contend for the faith that had been delivered to them. So he thought it was needful. Why would it be? Of course, he was moved. think it means to stand up for it, stand up in defense of the faith, fight for the faith. You know, don't let these false teachers come in and defile. Now, Paul taught much the same thing over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1 through 4. And 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Paul wrote there, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, of which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So again, it's Paul pretty much taught the same thing to the Corinthians. Jude writes that certain men have crept in unawares and undermining the grace of God. Back in the old days, in the Old Testament days, the Judas shepherds were also known to introduce false doctrine to the people as truth. Read that in Jeremiah 23, 26 through 28. About 23, 26 through 28. He writes there, it says, "How long would this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbors, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. He who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat?" says the Lord. So again, we see this happened in Old Testament times. It happened during the times of the apostles. It was happening during the times of the apostles. And it's happening today. Of course, there's a lot of falsehoods out there today that are being taught as truth. So we also have got to contend for the truth and not let this false doctrine come into the church. When someone substitutes his or own ideas for the truth, they're turning God's grace into lasciviousness, as Jude wrote in verse 4 there. What do we mean by lasciviousness? What is that? What they're doing by being lascivious is corrupting the Word of God, perverting the Word of God. It's without profit and making it groundless. So how do we know if what they're teaching is false?
By studying enough to know.
Right. By studying to know. If we don't study, we're not going to be able to know whether we're being taught the truth or being taught a lie. Okay. Read verses 5 through 7 here. So Jude goes on and says, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment day. As Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So in these verses 5 through 7, Jude is giving a sort of short history lesson. He's reminded his audience Jesus not only reminded them of the events, but he's also telling them of the consequences they're going to face, or that were faced when they no longer follow God. And those examples there, God had led the people from Egypt, but he destroyed those that didn't believe. In fact, remember, none of the Israelites that had been led out by Moses that were over the age of 21 were allowed to enter the land God promised, except for Caleb and Joshua. Those were the only two that were allowed, that were over the age of 21 that were allowed into the promised land. We can read that in Numbers chapter 14, verses 29 through 30. And the angels that, the other example, the angels that had kept not their first state are reserved in chains until the judgment. So their first state or their duty, these angels had neglected the duty that they were given. So apparently even angels, these created beings that God has, have rules and they have things that are held in account for. And then lastly there, Jude also mentions Sodom and Gomorrah and their rejection of God, giving in to passions. And that's set forth to us as an example. Any questions or any comments so far? Possibly, yes. I would think it would be. Yeah, it would be the. That makes sense. If any of the angels had failed, there were a lot of angels that failed. You know, along with Satan. That's probably correct. False teachers to those previous examples of ungodliness that you mentioned earlier. Since they defile the flesh. Over in Romans 8 and 5, Paul wrote to the Romans, he wrote, "For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So they despise dominion. These false teachers, they despise dominion, they defy rule, they just basically want to rule themselves. Speak evil of dignitaries or people of authority, governors, whatever, or overseers of the church. Of course, there are those today that speak ill or speak lightly of God or parents, of employers, and of those in authority. God ordained three institutions. He ordained the government, He ordained the family, and He ordained marriage. And He expects us to respect these institutions. In verse 9 there, Jude sets in contrast to these false teachers, Michael the archangel. He said when Michael was contending with the devil for the body of Moses, he did not accuse or speak evil of it, but instead said, "The Lord rebuked it." He said, this here where he says the archangel was contending with the devil. It's not recorded anywhere else in the Bible besides here in Jude. But we know it happened. We know it's true because Jude wrote by inspiration. So since the Lord gave the devil his authority, it was the Lord that had the power to rebuke. And what's the lesson for us on this?
Not to argue with the devil.
Don't argue with the devil, right?
We're going to lose today.
Right, you are. And when you contend for the faith of other people, you should never derail them or degrade them or talk down to them when you're trying to convince them of the faith. If we do that, you're never going to convince them of anything if you derail them.
Is Jude talking about the false teachers that are already in that Paul warned about?
Right. He's talking about these false teachers. All this is talking about the false teachers. He's comparing them to these Old Testament examples here. And but then he gives the event of the archangel contending with the devil about for Moses' body. And he said that the archangel did not rebuke the devil. So to give us an example of how we should act there, when we're trying to contend with the faith. He says, you know, these false teachers, they speak evil things that they know nothing about. That's pretty rampant today. Churches, but especially in the world. I mean, there's only new politics. Everything is spoken evil. There's nothing but evil spoken about things they don't know anything about.
Yeah, we have false teachers today. I believe that they really don't know the teaching false.
Right. And some people are sincerely teaching, thinking they're teaching the truth, but they're not teaching truth. They're teaching false doctrine.
Or they're teaching traditions.
Right, teaching traditions.
Scripture.
Right, teaching traditions. It's just handed down traditions. And so they don't know, because they haven't been taught, they don't study. They don't know, some people don't know they're teaching false doctrine. I think there's some that are teaching that do know they're teaching false doctrine, but they're making money on it. You know, some of these TV evangelists, they're making big money. I saw on the internet Jesse DuPontis or something like that headed to Louisiana this morning on a $54 million jet. He's already had two jets, but he wants one that he won't have to stop if he can go anywhere in the world. So he was going to go with a $54 million jet. So I think he knows what he's doing.
He wants to get there without stopping.
Get there without stopping. Yeah, make a fuel stop. So he goes on to say there, he said, they're like brute beasts. He said they corrupt themselves with what they know naturally. What does he mean by know naturally? I think what he's trying to say there, by what they know in their physical life, their fleshly life, that's how they corrupt them. They're like animals. They react as an animal reacts. On what feels good to them, that's what they act. So they're like animals. verse 11, Jesus said, "Woe unto them, they, these false teachers, have gone the way of Cain, are greedy after the error of Balaam, for reward perish like corn." Now, possibly, I'm sure not everybody in the churches that he was talking to were Jewish, but probably a lot of them were, because these, you know, Cain, Balaam, or all that's from the Old Testament. The Jews would be very familiar to those stories, those events. So I think there's a possibility that a lot of the people he was talking to were Jewish Christians. Okay. We'll stop there.